So good to worship with you guys this morning. I was thinking about that song that we first sang, Alleluia, and just thinking about, we are not just singing songs here when we gather. We are joining with all of heaven to proclaim God's holiness. All of heaven is worshiping God for his holiness. What an honor to take part in that. Our passage this morning is from Hebrews 10:19 through 25. says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Hebrews tells us that because of Jesus, we don't have to proclaim God's holiness from afar. Instead, as we just read, we can enter directly into his presence, that is here that we were just singing about, inviting the Holy Spirit into this room. We can know that our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And we here at Oak Hill get to do that together. What a privilege. Please pray with me. Holy God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together to proclaim your holiness on this earth. You are so, so good to us, Lord. And you have provided us with such an amazing community to get to worship alongside each other. And like I said, proclaim your holiness on earth. We love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
Because of your love that my soul will live. just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you. Forever the hope in our hearts. Forever the hope in our hearts.
Heavenly Father, it's all because of you. We proclaim the same thing we just sang, Lord. It's because of Jesus, your Son, that we know that we can live forever with you, Lord, and we're grateful. We're thankful, and we just invite your Holy Spirit into this place this morning. We invite your Holy Spirit to speak through your word that you gave us, to energize us, to encourage our hearts, to lift us up back to you, Lord, because we want to be connected with you, and we're so glad that you gave us your Son to do it. May his glory be pronounced this morning. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. So have you ever bought something and had it break nearly the second you started using it? And isn't that just the worst? I bought a little hand rake for my garden this year, and I was all excited to start planting with it. But the literal first time that I raked it through the dirt, the metal, like, rake part separated from the handle. So, I mean, I couldn't believe it. This thing had one job, to rake dirt. And I raked the dirt, and it broke. I mean, what gives? And I mean, that's probably what I get for buying the cheap one. But the truth is, most things these days aren't built to last. Appliances are plastic, and they're kind of designed to fall apart, so they have to be replaced at a certain time. I mean, same with phones and shoes, you name it. It's rare these days to see something built so well that it really lasts. Which means that when something does last, it's kind of unique and special, right? I mean, it means it was built right and built to weather all of life's challenges. And thankfully, the trend towards making stuff that breaks easily hasn't really hit the architectural game yet, which is a really good thing, because I wouldn't be pleased to find out that construction companies are replacing cement and steel with flimsy plastic that's designed to break soon, right? Can you imagine if we had to replace the support beams in our buildings as often as we'd have to replace our broken phones or laptops when they become obsolete? In reality, the part of a building that typically outlasts everything else are the supports that are holding everything up. I mean, you've seen it. When a building is abandoned for a long time or damaged in a fire, it's often the pillars that are kind of the last thing standing amongst the ruins, right? It's because they're designed that way, to be unbreakable and strong. We had that image of a strong support of a building in mind when we thought about this new sermon series called Pillars. Oak Hill is a church that is built on values or pillars that form the identity and foundation that holds us up. These pillars shape who we are, and what we do is God's church, and they're based on values that God tells us to embody in his word. Oak Hill has four pillars: biblical truth, relationships, servant leadership, and local and global outreach. And over the next 5 weeks of the sermon series, we'll be taking a deeper dive into each of those and talking about what they mean for our church and what they look like. As we kick off the series this morning, we're going to be focusing on our vision statement that forms the foundation for all that we are and do. It's connecting lives in grace and truth. And if you've been here for a while, you've probably seen or heard that statement around here a lot. But today we have a unique opportunity to delve deeper into where that vision comes from and what it means for us as children of God at Oak Hill. The scriptural basis for connecting lives in grace and truth is derived from John 1, 14 to 18. Feel free to follow along with me, and let's get into the word this morning. It says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one's ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. When we talk about connecting lives in grace and truth, we're connecting lives to Jesus because he was the one full of grace and truth. We all have a need for connection, to be made whole, which is why we go to church, right? The people and even staff at Oak Hill has changed over the years, but our need for connection to people and for grace and truth has always remained. Grace is how we know that we're loved and forgiven, favorable in God's sight, and that's found only in the truth of his word. There was a former pastor here that always told us to define reality. And our reality is that each and every individual that comes through those doors is broken. Just like a plastic circa 2008 flip phone or my little garden rake, we were never going to last. And it's not just a physical problem, it goes deeper than that. It's also an emotional and spiritual brokenness that causes us to fall apart. This world and everyone in it has been broken by sin. And we can't connect the pieces back together on our own. When sin came into God's perfect creation, everything fell apart. But the most important thing that was broken was our connection to God. Adam and Eve, the first humans ever created, were distanced from the very God that gave them life so they could be with him. And to be with God is the reason he made us. But it's the sin that keeps us away. It's that distance from the Father that breaks us. It breaks our relationship with people, and we're left alone. We're weak and vulnerable. The danger for all of us is to actually believe that we're on our own. Have you ever felt like you're literally the only person struggling? You see all these smiling and happy people, whether they're online or in real life, and you're wondering why life seems to be easier for them. Or maybe more like, why is life so difficult for you? Especially when things are really hard. When we lose a loved one, get fired, make a huge mistake, or just can't seem to catch a break. We feel broken, and life feels like it's in pieces. And we have no idea where to even start putting it back together. Life keeps going wrong. And the more it does, the more distant God seems and the more disconnected we feel. We were created to be with God. When he seems far away, we really struggle. Our hearts get hardened, our actions become selfish, and we start having doubts. We weren't made to be alone and live for ourselves. We need to be connected, pieced back together, made whole. That need intensifies when we try to do it all on our own. We're often just going through the motions. The people we do see can feel almost as distant as God does. It's really easy to feel alone in a crowded room, to think that you're the exception, that God just isn't with you. Even though he says he loves you, it feels like he's left you all alone sometimes. In the book of Exodus, the Israelites, God's chosen people at the time, struggled with the exact same thing. And they had this leader named Moses who wasn't always sure that he was the right guy to be the leader, but he was called. And even as God was giving Moses and his people everything they needed, and I mean everything, guidance, protection, shelter, sustenance, everything. Mind you, he rained down food from heaven and guided them with pillars of fire and clouds. So, I mean, he was there. Yet they still somehow thought that God abandoned them and that his plan wouldn't work. They kept disobeying and questioning him, despite the fact that they were messing everything up and not listening. There was grace and a ton of it. God kept on forgiving them and giving them chance after chance. He never changed. He never faltered, never went back on one promise. In fact, he just kept drawing nearer, coming closer to them. In Exodus 33, after God had already led them out of slavery, across the Red Sea, and stayed with them the entire time, he told Moses to take them to the Promised Land. But Moses wanted to be sure that God would go with them like God said he would. So Moses says to him in Exodus 33:18, "Show me your glorious presence." It's pretty bold, right? And we're told in Exodus 33:19-23 that the Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." And that's exactly what happened. Moses didn't see God's face. He was then given the law and the commandments, including the instructions for the tabernacle, where God would be with his people. And that's what God does. He's with us. And he gave us his word to let us know that even when we call on him to draw nearer, he will. God knew all along that we were never going to be able to follow the law and that we were going to need saving. He knew that Jesus was going to come and bring the grace and truth we needed. I mean, notice how God tells Moses to stand on the rock so he could be hidden in a crevice. Moses wanted to know for sure that God would be with him, but he wasn't able to see God and live. He had that same need for connection, though, to be made whole, to no longer be broken, to see and know God despite the sinfulness that always gets in the way. And God knew that too. His plan was never to stay in the tabernacle. His plan was to send his son, Emmanuel, God with us. He was going to restore and repair the broken world. Everything that happened in the Old Testament was to prepare the way for Jesus. In John 1:14, we read that the Word became flesh. Jesus fully embodied God's law and word. He followed it perfectly, and he brought it to life. And this wasn't just a fluke for a couple of days. He was with us for years. He made his dwelling here on earth. Now, the Greek verb that the NIV translates as "made his dwelling" is a word that also means he tabernacled among us. Jesus became the living, breathing tabernacle after all those years. Because that's how our God loves and pursues us. He came. He came to connect us and make us whole again. It's because of the grace and truth of Jesus that we are able to see God, unlike Moses. We don't have to hide in a crevice on a rock. We stand boldly on the rock and are connected with God once again. The second part of John 1:14 says, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, full of grace and truth." Jesus made it so that we didn't need a tabernacle or rituals to approach God. We just need him. His grace, the forgiveness, the mercy, and the love that he gave us built a bridge back to the Father that sin can't break. His truth gave us all of the answers that we need and told us who God is and who we are. He connected us back to the source of life. John goes on to write in our text this morning, "Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one's ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Grace in place of grace already given. God's grace is so incredible because it never runs out. His truth never changes. It always reveals who God is and brings us closer to him. It was the grace and truth of Jesus that restored our connection to God and allowed us to have this unique relationship with him despite our sinfulness. Even as the world continues to fall apart and life is so hard, as people suffer and rebel against God, Jesus brings grace and truth. He came to us and he never left us. He saved us by sacrificing himself. It's by his blood that we're made whole, restored from brokenness, and able to connect with God. Early this morning, Holly read a passage from Hebrews 10, 19 to 23 that said this: "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Because Jesus came, we can enter the most holy place. We're washed by the blood of Jesus. Our guilty conscience, our broken hearts, and all of our sinfulness has been cleansed by our faith in him and what he did for us. It's always been about what God is doing, his faithfulness, and his plan to connect with his creation through Jesus. Even when we feel distant from him, he's with us. Because he loves us, because he is full of grace and truth. It's out of that knowledge that we know there's never a time to feel alone, and especially not alone in sin. Jesus came for all of us because we're all broken. Our brokenness is really what connects us. We all need a savior, and that's why churches began. Church is a place to get connected to that grace and truth, to know Jesus, and through him, to know God. But it's also a place to connect to people and to connect lives together. We have people that come in our doors utterly shattered, with lives that have never felt put together, and a need for connection that's never been greater or more dire. And the greatest gift we can give people is the same gift we receive every day. It's the grace and the truth of our Lord. We get real with people and let them know they're not the only one feeling broken. There's power in knowing that you're not alone. It's an infectious hope that keeps us going and is made complete in faith in God's word and the work of Jesus. Connecting lives in grace and truth means that out of our knowledge of God and his promises, we're able to share that with others and see them become whole too. We get to see lives changed and hearts put back together by God. It matters. We can live like Jesus by showing people grace and telling them the truth of God's word. That process makes a broken person feel put together and valuable. It's what God calls us to be all about doing. And you know what? It's the best. It changes us and changes others. For those of you that are new to Oak Hill, each year we have an event called the Country Fair, where we all get together, eat some food, and have an auction for donated items that benefits our women's ministry. And it's one of my favorite nights of the year. I'm kind of obsessed with it. But last year, I was out of town, sadly, the night of the fair. And we have an auction, and so I heard a story about something that happened during the auction. There was a really cool glass item that was just about to be auctioned off, and as it was being carried up to the front, it fell accidentally, and it just shattered on the ground. And while that's obviously a bummer, it's pretty safe to say that no one was going to want to bid on that broken item anymore. Yet the auction for the item still began. And wouldn't you know it, someone actually bid on those broken glass pieces. And stunningly, a bit of a bidding war ensued, and that shattered item was bought and taken home after all. And it didn't have to be. It just as easily could have been thrown away. But someone decided that even something broken wasn't worthless and was still willing to pay for it. In life, we can all relate to feeling like that broken item on the ground, can't we? Shattered into pieces, feeling like we're alone, have no value. What changes everything is when we realize that there was actually a bidding war for our lives too, and Jesus won. We're never so broken that we don't have value. Romans 8:38 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jesus bought us with his life. The Son of God paid the highest price for us. God was never going to let us go. And he decided that every person is worth sacrificing himself for. He decided that no brokenness is too much, that everyone can be connected to him and be made whole. As God's church, we're called to do the same with the lives that we encounter. Every heart that walks in our door is worthy of being with God, of knowing their value, and of being connected. The Lord wants to use Oak Hill to make that known, to build a community of people that loves others and values broken lives. When we get that right, we're connecting lives in grace and truth. It's our vision. We're encouraging one another, holding each other up, gathering in God's name. We're going after people that never thought anyone would ever want them. And we're telling them about the God who does. The ending of that Hebrews passage we read earlier says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back to reconnect the pieces of this broken world for good. He'll dwell with us once again in the presence of the Father, and we'll all be connected forever. Till that day, Oak Hill is called to be a church where we spur one another on, where we keep meeting together, staying connected, and encouraging each other to love and serve. That's what the church does, and it's also how hearts are transformed. We take a page out of God's playbook and actually go to people. We dwell or tabernacle with them because Jesus tabernacled with us. We can become places for the Holy Spirit to dwell and to shine through our lives for others. Let's face it, Oak Hill has never been about our building or the stuff inside of it. It's always been about people. Connecting lives, and about the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. It's such a gift that we get to share our life and our faith with others, that God continues to use this community of broken, imperfect people to connect lives in grace and truth. We have this opportunity to serve others here and now, to know God and to know people, to see lives transformed, and hearts be made whole. The beauty of being in this community is getting to see how we all come together because we're broken. But as we gather in the name of his Son, the living tabernacle, we're connected. We're the church, God's church. We're broken, but made whole in Christ. We're invited to bring others in and see what God does. we can go to the broken people that we see each day. Instead of keeping our distance, we can pursue and love them. We can know and value them. We can ask God to come alongside us and help us get closer to them. When we ask him to be with us, he shows up. And Jesus brings the grace and the truth to share. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning. We're grateful for your word. And we're grateful for this church. We're grateful for this vision that we have to connect lives in grace and truth. And we thank you that you sent your son to dwell with us. He tabernacled here with us, Lord. And we're so thankful for that because it taught us how we can connect lives in grace and truth and why that matters. Because Jesus did it perfectly. And he was here with us. And we know you're with us today too, Lord. And we just pray every heart in here would just be filled with the Holy Spirit and just know that they're not alone. They're not broken. They're made whole in you. And we just pray all of that in the name of your glorious Son, Jesus. Amen.
If you could please stand, we're going to respond in worship this morning. We introduced this song a couple weeks ago, so let's just continue learning it together and just join in when you're able.
The cross upon your back, bleeding until your final breath, tears of blood, crown of thorns, you gave it all, our sins you
Jesus did on the cross was more than enough. People need to hear that message. It's for all of us this morning. We need it. We need him. And it's such a blessing to be in a church and in a place where we connect lives in that grace and truth that we have in what he did. It's so special. Hear now this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Praise God.